having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome into the show on a rainy Monday afternoon. And according to the forecast, it's going to rain until about 10 or 11 o'clock tonight, which is good for our yards. May not be good for driving home later, but we need the rain, so let's suck it up and deal with it. Let's say hello very quickly to Watson Brown, who should be now getting some of that rain up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, amazing. Just about the time the show started, it started sprinkling, so we're about to get it. Hey, what a great weekend in Nashville, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
The Big Blue Tigers upset Austin Peay.
Yeah.
The Commodores upsets Missouri, and the Titans beat the Chargers. So, I mean, pretty nice weekend in Nashville.
Oh, we've got a lot to talk about on this show. The first hour will be Titans. The second hour will go college football. Let's say hello very quickly to Terry McCormick, who has covered a lot of crazy endings to games at Nissan Stadium. Terry, this may be almost as crazy as any of them.
It's definitely in the top five, George. I think when you see that, you know, the Chargers had two touchdowns and then both times wiped out by replay, and then the final play was reviewed and it was determined that there was a fumble that Wesley Woodyard caused and Jarrell Casey recovered. It's just a very strange ending, and, you know, bailed Mike Vrabel and the Titans out after what I felt like was a very questionable decision to go for that fourth and one at midfield.
Guys, the truth of it is, had the Chargers won the game, today you would be hearing a lot of the Titans don't know how to win. They're up 10 with 6.5 to play. They give up the easiest four-play drive touchdown in the history of mankind. Took about a minute and 15 seconds. And listen, I'm thrilled they won, but I came away from it going, you know, they don't really know how to close the deal.
Yeah, it's a situation where, you know, it almost looks like they took their foot off the gas or had a, you know, a momentary lapse or whatever. But you're right. That, you know, the defense, which has been carrying the team all year, let the Chargers zip right back down the field and also let them, you know, get in position. But when it counted the most, they came up big. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's, as they say, it's better to be lucky than good. And, you know, the Titans in that goal line stand were probably both lucky and good.
Watson, I have just, right before we came on the air, watched the replay of the final few plays. I still can't see the fumble.
No, I can't either. I think they pulled at it after he was squirming, and I, if they hadn't called it a fumble, and I guess they did because they didn't stop the clock or anything, they didn't signal touchdown. It was great that we had a goal line stand. That was one of the worst goal line series for a team I've ever seen. I mean, I think you got to throw a ball in there somewhere too. It's not going to hurt you. It was first and goal on the 6-inch line. You could have thrown once, run once, or something else. They threw one to get it there, and it was pass interference, and it was pass interference. So I didn't like the play calling for them. I sure didn't like the play that was called for the Titans. And then to me, watching the game, we backed off on defense. It wasn't that all of a sudden we quit playing defense. We backed up like it's a 17-point lead with 3 minutes to go or something. We backed off of them. Didn't keep aggressive. Didn't come after them. Just let them just throw balls underneath us right down the field. So I thought it was philosophy as much as it was poor. It wasn't just poor defense. I thought it was more philosophy of the way we wanted to play defense down the stretch.
Terry, let me start with you. The game has kind of a stay of execution feel for the Titans. They get a win that at the end doesn't look like they're going to get. Very fortunate to come out of there with a victory. Does this really change what goes on in their season?
I think it probably solidifies their thinking that now they're going with Ryan Tannehill the rest of the way because he played pretty well yesterday. I think it also lets them know that at some point, whether it's in this year's draft or next, or you know, the 2020 draft or the 2021 draft, they've got to start looking for the next long-term answer at quarterback. I think at 3-4, you feel like maybe you're still in a wild card hunt in the playoff chase. You can string together a few wins, but at 2-5, you're probably already making plans to have a top 10 pick in the draft. So it was big from that standpoint that it allowed the Titans to kind of stay afloat on this 2019 season and not just go ahead and abandon ship. You know, there's still, you know, some things that are going to have to improve, and they're going to have to continue to play more like they did yesterday and sustain that for a while if they want to have any hope of jumping back into the postseason chase.
Watson, how do you see it?
Well, I see it like Terry. I thought he made some good points. But I still believe that game kept us in the win the division playoff. I mean, we're a game back. I know some teams have beaten us, which a tie goes to them, but we play the Texans twice in, 3 weeks at the end of the seasons? I think, am I wrong, Terry? Don't we play 4 of the next 5 at home or something like that?
I think that is right. There's a couple of NFC opponents coming up, and I think it's Tampa Bay. I know it's Tampa Bay on Sunday, and then I believe it's Carolina. And then I believe they will play the Chiefs, and that who may or may not have Patrick Mahomes back by that time.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're still in it now. That game, you go 2-5, you're pretty much done. So I think it's an even bigger win. For both teams, we're sitting at the same spot, and the Chargers got on a plane 2-5, and we're sitting one game back of first place. So, you know, I think the best team – the best team is that right now is the Colts. They're playing the best, but I thought the best talented team was the Texans. But the Colts beat them. So, I mean, we have a tough time finding a way to beat the Colts, but we're right there, guys. I mean, if we finish that game right, we don't have a bad taste in our mouth from yesterday. If we don't try to run a quarterback sneak and give it to the big guy, I can't see him stopping Derrick Henry for 6 inches. I just can't see it. And then we try to run a quarterback sneak. Instead of sneaking, we try to jump. The whole thing looked bad, but we let them back in the game by playing soft defense. We could have finished that out, and we'd be talking really, really good day. Because the second half, we were dominating. We were dominating the game. They were doing nothing offensively, and we were getting after – the quarterback big time. He was having to throw the ball, guys, before he was ready to throw it. He had people open, but he had to throw it so quick. That's one thing about him now. He does a great job. He ain't going to sit there and take sacks. It'll be gone out of his hand. And we go from a really good second half to not – George, you may have said it best. We still don't know how to finish a game yet. And maybe we're going to learn here because, personally, I thought that was the game of the season right there.
Hang with us here. We're going to listen in on a little bit of Mike Vrabel's press conference, which took place a little more than an hour ago, and here is some of what he had to say.
When you watched the final play that resulted in the strip and the recovery, what did you see, I guess, from penetration up front and just across the board on that play?
Saw a great effort. Great effort by 11 guys that were determined to make a play. So a player playing his first NFL game, you know, knock a guy back 2 yards, create penetration. So Wood get his hand on the ball and us able to finish it.
What kind of explanation did they give you when you were discussing the play clock scenario after the fake punt where it seemed like they didn't know what was going on?
Well, I think we have to be careful there. We have to assume that we're going to convert, right? And that's the thing. And so in the excitement of gaining, you know, a huge play, great execution by the players, that we're really ready to go. That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to, you know, we've got 11 guys 60 yards from our line of scrimmage, our sideline, that are excited. And they got to get off the field, and we got to get the offense on the field to run a play. No different than we're trying to celebrate touchdowns, which is something that I think is important, that we go celebrate them. I mean, hell, we haven't had that many. And so knowing that we're going to have to kick an extra point, that we also find a way to get back there and make sure that we're ready to go for the extra point. That's really what that comes down to.
Byard's a guy who's thrown a pass and the punt team now caught one. Is he unusual in the way you're able to use him in those situations?
I think that you'd like to try to form a team with as many athletes that you possibly can. You know, we evaluate players. There's guys that have linear speed, power, that may not be fluid athletes, but they're great football players. I've coached them. I think we can identify them. And there's also guys that are athletes that if you kind of put them in space or you put them on a basketball court, they can kind of move around and find open spaces. They can catch. They don't, they're not real nervous when the ball comes to them. They got soft hands, whatever it may be. They're probably good at a bunch of sports. Because when you get out there and you start playing, I think that's the versatility where, you know, guys can come down, and they can tackle, they can blitz, they can, you know, their movements on a football field. And I think KB would fall into that category of an athletic player.
Similar to that last play when you mentioned Jeffrey Simmons, did you see some evidence of him being able to impact, you know, more than just the guy he was going up against? Was he able to impact players around him as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys are, you know, you're always excited to play with guys that, you know, give you a chance to win, that can, you know, that can dominate, that are, you know, good at their position, and, you know, happy for Jeff, happy for the entire team. But that was cool for him to play in his first game and be able to contribute the way he did and see some of the stuff that we had worked on while he was coming back from his rehab. And again, it was a big decision for Jeff. I think that it's cool for me to be able to sit there on Saturday morning and have him come in and say, you know, Coach, I'm ready. You know, I'm confident in being able to go and play in the game. Because it was up to him. You know what I mean? It's like, Jeff, you just have to tell me you're cleared medically. You have to tell us that you have the confidence to go out there and play. And when you tell us that, that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, we're 2-4. You know, you're playing. Would never do that. Would never do that. Would never want anybody to do that to my son. And he came in, and it was a cool thing. He was emotional to be able to recognize that dream and playing in the National Football League.
Did you have a ballpark idea of snaps for him, or did you just kind of play out the way?
I think that we wanted to try to keep it right where it was. Would like to continue to look to increase that based on how he feels. You know, and the more that the players can handle, the more that we'll try to give them.
As you go through the season with your ups and downs, it looks like Derrick Henry has been very consistent for you in what he's delivering each and every week. Is that something you know you're going to get and you bank on each week now because he's hit that level of consistency?
He has. He's running hard. I mean, we talked about one of the keys, a huge key to the game offensively, was our ability to break some tackles and make people miss. You know, he did that for us. He ran hard, you know, tossed it to him on the touchdown, and you know, made the post safety miss. Guy we can't, you know, can't block. So he's running hard and certainly giving us a chance.
Did you?
Okay, that's a little bit of the press conference from Mike Vrabel. Didn't really get into the plays at the end. But, Terry, you were there. I was there. Like I said earlier, I still haven't seen the fumble, but I know it happened.
Yeah, if you go to TitanInsider.com, you can see the lead photo from the game story. And our photographer, Angie Flatt, got a shot. You see Wesley Woodyard's arm around the football as he's beginning to try to rake it out. So I know that, you know, that they said that that's how it happened. And she was able to get a shot of that. So it was. If you go there, you can see the beginnings of it. You don't see the ball out yet, but you see Woodyard's arm around the ball, the same thing as Melvin Gordon having it there too.
I do see the picture, and I would encourage any and all of you that want to see it, go to TitanInsider.com to find out more about it. Here's what we'll do. We'll go to the break. It is 2:20, and then I would invite your questions and your comments about the Titans' win yesterday, one of the most bizarre endings to a game I have seen in a long time. Anyway, want to hear from you. Are you encouraged? Are you sort of saying, yeah, it's nice that it's a win, but it really doesn't tell me much? Where are you? So I want to hear it. 844-5600 is the number. Again, 844-5600. If you will call now, we should be able to get to you pretty quickly. We'll go to the break. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Want to say a hello to my buddy James Warren. He was a classmate of mine, 1977 at BGA. He's also the owner of Sir Speedy of Berry Hill, and James joins us. James, what do you want people to know about your business?
Well, here's the thing. If you look anywhere, you can see signage. A business without signage is like a car with a flat tire. It's not going anywhere fast. Sir Speedy Berry Hill can change that. We are a trusted resource for sign design and production. Whether you need trade show displays, banners, posters, directional signs, window decals, wall graphics, you name it, Sir Speedy Berry Hill's sign capabilities can help your business get noticed.
Okay, tell them where you're located, all the particulars.
So we're at 2400 Phelps Avenue off of Melrose in lovely Nashville, Tennessee. Our phone number is 615-832-9511. You can look at us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Email us at print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. We've got you.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Innsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at innsworth.com to learn more.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
It's the NFL on Sports USA. This week, the Los Angeles Rams charge into Atlanta to face the Falcons. The Rams have Goff firing lasers downfield to Kupp and Cooks. Then it's Gurley rumbling into the end zone.
10-5!
Touchdown, Todd Gurley!
The Falcons have their own passing attack with Matt Ryan airmailing it to Julio, Ridley, or a delivery for Mr. Hooper. It's the Rams at the Falcons this Sunday on Sports USA.
Pre-game coverage begins at 11:30 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
As we welcome all of you back, let's talk a little Titans football at 844-5600. Your reaction to an incredibly bizarre ending to this game. So, Watson, let me start with you on Ryan Tannehill, whose numbers are really good. You kind of tell me what you saw out of him.
Well, I saw the guy that can run this offense. It fits him a lot better than Marcus. And if we'll get better up front, I think the guy can make the plays we need him to make. He made a lot in this game. I loved his composure. I loved his confidence. There was a couple of really good throws. The scramble to his left where he hit Davis in the seam, well, not a seam, but on a crossing route. I mean, there wasn't a BB hole to throw that in, and he put it right on the money. There was another one on a little square end dead over the middle where he had to put it in a small area, and I think that one was Davis too, and then he took it across the field and gained about 20 more. The touchdown throw in the end zone in a small window where he ripped it in there on that play. So, I mean, we saw throws we hadn't seen. I just think this offense is more built toward what he does best, and I think that they made the right move.
Okay, let me be ugly here, because it's an ugly, cynical moment that I had during the game yesterday where there are two or three throws, and they are some of the throws you just pointed out, where I'm sitting there saying to myself, Mariota can't make that throw.
No, he hasn't made some of those throws. I've seen him make the throw on the scramble where he's rolling to his left and make some good throws like that. Those sitting in the pockets and in small areas, no, I don't know that I have. I've seen some good ones, but not those. Again, the play-action passes, that kind of stuff off of the runs. I just think this fits Ryan Tannehill better. I thought it was the right move. I'm not I still think Marcus is going to be a good player, but he just can't do what we've tried to make him do, and I think they gave him plenty of time to prove that, and it just wasn't best for him. And you had to do one of two things. You kind of changed toward Marcus, which if they were going to do that, guys, they would have done that in the summer. The spring and summer, and they didn't do that. So you asked this last week, and Terry kind of said the same thing, I think. But I thought they need to make the switch just because of the style of offense that they were running.
Okay, let me bring Terry into this. Terry, obviously, Ryan.
Please record your...
That wasn't Terry. we'll get Terry in here in a minute. Let me go ahead and take a phone call real quickly, and then we'll get Terry situated again. Eric on line one, welcome into WNSR.
George, I tell you what, it's just one of the most unbelievable endings I can ever imagine. But one of the funny things is some of the people were leaving when they thought that, I guess, Phillip Rivers threw that touchdown pass. In fact, I heard one person remark, he says, oh, I'm set up with the tape, I'm not going to renew my PSL. And I said, oh, yeah, I wonder what's taking that after they left. Especially that crazy ending where you had they were stopped short of the goal line. They had that another one where Melvin Gordon's knee was down. And then, of course, the fumble. But I thought overall the officiating, though, was terrible, especially with that. It looked like the guy was not at both feet and bounced where Mike Vrabel challenged. And also where Tannehill sat down and he got fairly touched. There was no flag thrown. But I remember 2 weeks ago when that happened with Josh Allen, and they threw a flag on us. Clearly, Jeffrey Simmons yesterday, what a game. Just limited practice and the way he played yesterday. I was so excited about that. He's going to be an impact player if he can keep that up. also, when you get a fumble, fall down on the ball. Don't try and pick it up to make the play. I think that's the second home game I've seen that where somebody tried to pick it up and run with the ball, and they could have just fallen on it. And when Cody Parkey missed that extra point, I was thinking, when is Brian Circle going to come back? I tell you what, George, it's just real, real excited about the game yesterday. I just hope we can keep it up. I don't feel bad for Ken Whitson. I know he had to be just, oh, that's the way they lost that game yesterday, being on the Chargers sideline.
Yeah. Hey, well, several things you've brought up we'll talk about. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Take care, George. Yes, sir.
I think we've got Terry back. Terry, what is Ryan Suckup's situation?
Well, I think they're expecting that he might be back after this week. He has to spend at least 8 games on injured reserve. After that, they can bring him back, and I believe he is eligible to return for week 9.
Okay, so not far away. Now, let's talk about Ryan Tannehill. Terry, I thought as the game got farther and farther going that the offensive line struggled to give him the kind of protection he needs. They do a lot of 5- and 7-step drops out of their quarterback, and duh, they don't have that luxury.
No, they don't have that type of line to be able to do that sort of thing consistently. But, you know, if they can get the run game going, they're hoping that the play action, you know, can be effective enough that they can do some of those 5- and 7-step drops. And I think that in those situations, you know, the line, given that they were down to the last 5 guys yesterday, I thought held up fairly well. I guess, you know, going forward, they're going to have to, you know, shore up that line. Now, that may not happen this season, but it'll probably happen in the off season. That they're going to have to address that. They're going to have to look, take a real hard look at some of these guys to see who's worth investing in and who's not.
844-5600 is the number. Would love to hear from you as we talk about the Titans' victory in an incredibly bizarre ending yesterday at Nissan Stadium. Watson, Terry's right about one thing. We now know their draft next year is going to have to be offensive line and offensive line and offensive line because this is not going to work.
Well, and I think we'll be sitting the draft for an offensive lineman. If at worst, we'll probably be middle of the pack. So you're not going to get one of the top quarterbacks if you're not up there real high. And I'm not sure if there is one. I'm not, you know, yet. I want to watch some of these guys play the rest of the year and see. But I'm not sure there is one that we may just now live with Tannehill and see if we can fix this line. That's all it's missing. Ryan played good enough yesterday to win us some games. It's still the offensive line. That's our issue right now. And fix that next year and play with Tannehill and either hunt a free agent or wait till you get the guy you want in the draft wherever you can. If you're not one of the worst teams, though, it's hard to get those top guys if you're not one of the worst teams because they're gonna get the draft. So I don't know. It's going to get interesting. We all knew when this went down, if this went down, it was going to put us in a tough spot. And now I think all we can do is hope Ryan Tannehill is good enough to lead us till that can be fixed, whenever it might be.
And the other thing,
one of the things you were spot on about, you said that once they put Tannehill in, that the receivers would probably look better because of he's going to be able to hit them more in stride because the 5- and 7-step drops are his style of play more so than Mariota's. And we saw A.J. Brown and Corey Davis both have pretty solid games for the Titans, even with some run after the catch on a couple of those throws.
Absolutely, Terry. And if our running game, if we can just get better there, then those things are going to even get better as games go on. I did think they tried to do more quick throws in certain passing downs the other day, where we kind of catch 1, 2, 3 in the gun and let it go, or catch and throw and let it go. I think that's smart. I believe we've got to do that. And even jumping 5 wides and get it out of our hands fast, even more screens, Terry. When you have a poor offensive line, there's two things you do. If you can't run the ball well, you've got to throw quicker passes, and you run more screens and run more draws. That's what you try to do to help your line. The third thing would be move the pocket some. And they did that in the second half. If you remember, guys, they ran a couple of what I call nakeds, where he starts one way and goes the other, and he had a couple of nice completions off of that.
Guys, give me your opinion of what went on in Tannehill's attempted quarterback sneak on fourth and inches that ultimately fails and gives the Chargers the football. Terry, I'll start with you.
Well, you know, the Titans maintained that they thought that he had a little bit of forward progress there, and maybe he did. I think they tried to run it a little bit over the left side, maybe behind Roger Saffold there, in between him and Taylor Lewan. But to me, it just looked like it got stacked up right from the get-go. And I'm kind of with Watson on this. I think I would have rather handed the ball to Derrick Henry and said, here, you get us 6 inches, rather than have the quarterback try and do it, especially a guy who's making his first start for you.
Watson?
Well, and then the way he ran it, he was way too high. You want to run a quarterback sneak, you got to get your shoulder pads down and you got to get underneath everything. And he just was, if you saw the, it got stood straight up. And that's not the way quarterback sneaks normally happen. You get a big pile and everything goes down. And then you got to go dig him out. I mean, his body was the one we saw. He's up in the air. And I just didn't think the execution of the play was very good either. We ran one early in the game, and he made the first down doing it. But that's out in the middle of the field. You could do anything. This was the play of the game. And I think when it's the play of the game, you better be really good inside to run a quarterback sneak, because that's what everybody thinks you're going to do. And we drafted this big back. Easy to second guess. I've been there, and I've run that quarterback sneak just like them, and I've not made it before. So I'm preaching to the choir here. I've done it myself. But I look back, and you've got a big old back that you have drafted as your man. I just think it was time. Same thing with Gordon. That's what they tried to do, and it didn't work. They gave it to their guy. Now, he's not Derrick Henry. He's not the big, strong. I think that's a little different handing it to him. And you're probably going to talk about that some too, George. I would have thrown a ball down there instead of just running it up the gut twice. They got no movement the first time they did it. I was surprised they came back to it again.
Let me try this one on both of you. And let me say up front, there's no way I would have punted. But when Tannehill did the quarterback sneak that failed, did either one of you give much consideration to punting? Terry.
Well, I thought they should have punted. I thought they should have absolutely punted, because, number one, Rick Curran may be the best punter in the league, and he is certainly the best at pinning people back inside the 5-yard line and that sort of thing. In that situation, make them go 75 yards for the tying field goal to tie you, not go 50 yards or a touchdown that's going to beat you.
Watson?
Terry's got a great point. I've just always been an offensive guy, and I never considered anything but let's win it on offense. It's 6 inches. Terry, most coaches would think like Terry, I can tell you. But I've done that many, many times, and I've won and lost doing it. So I don't know that I could say it's a plus or a minus in times I've done it. But I never even considered punting there. I didn't think he did. Watching him on the sidelines, you all game. I was watching it on TV, and of course they'd be looking at him. He never flinched. He was going for it right out the gate. He didn't turn to ask anybody or nothing. He said, go for it. You can see his mouth. Said and immediately said it. So I don't think that he had any thought process whatsoever.
And here's the thing, Terry, think about this. You know, if you decide to bring the punter out, and this is the perfect hindsight is 2020, you're going to get ripped if you don't go for it. Admit it, you would admit that.
Yes, you're going to get second guessed, that's for sure. But the other part of that too, that, you know, as far as punt it or, you know, go for it, you know, Vrabel has already developed a reputation as kind of a riverboat gambler and maybe not the best guy when it comes to making, you know, decisions that are, you know, going to put the team in peril if it doesn't work. And, you know, to my way of thinking, does he get the benefit of the doubt on this? Are we questioning him more because of some of the other things he's done in previous games of when to go for it and when not?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that while we all love the concept of riverboat gambler, he has a couple of times taken it too far, and therefore, yeah, he's opened himself up to a little bit of that.
Well, he has, guys. And the other thing, players always want you to go for that, and you don't make decisions off the players for dang sure. Believe me, that's not the way to go. But there is a aggressiveness that the players feel within their head coach when you do some of those things. And I think it's worse on him if he punts and loses than it is going for it and losing. So that's the way I would look at it as a fan. At least he had the aggressiveness to go. Terry's right. I think most coaches and in those situations do punt, especially with a great punter. And they had no timeouts left. They were all gone. And Terry is right that they could have possibly got the field goal range. I'm not sure they would have scored it from inside the 10 and have to go that far. But gracious, when you get it on the other side of the 50, now you're going to win the game. You're not trying to kick a field goal. I mean, they threw one pass and they were in field goal range. So they were already there. And then they really did a good job with the plays they ran against their defense in those last till they got to the 6-inch line. And that's where I thought that I keep going back to that a little bit. I didn't get any comment from either one of you two, but to me, one of those needed to be a pass. It would have stopped the clock, and you've still got a third down left.
I agree, because here's the thing. If you get in that situation, you know, which I kept thinking, though, if this ball is not ruled a fumble, they were going to have, you know, the clock was going to run out, and they may not have been able to get the field goal unit out there. They think the clock was stopped with 7 seconds left. They're going to reset the clock. Can you even get the field goal unit out there to kick the sure thing field goal and tie the ball game to send it into overtime at that point? I think, you know, it was really how the clock was managed over that final minute was really a delicate situation for both sides, because if you're the Chargers, you're thinking, we don't want to leave them any time to come back on us if, you know, and give them the ball. If you're the Titans, you're thinking, if they score on us, and, you know, and granted, yeah, you know, they tell us that they're defending every blade of grass, but you know as well as I do that there was a 99.9% chance they were going to score with four plays from the 6-inch line. And if you're the Titans, you've got your timeout, and you're saying, do we need to start burning our timeout to save some clock so that if this thing, you know, if they score the go-ahead touchdown, that we can get down in range to maybe have a chance.
A lot of stuff to think about in that final minute. Let's do this. We'll go to the break at 2:41. I would like to hear from some of you who either watched the game or went to it yesterday. Your reaction to the Titans' victory. We have lines open. 844-5600 is the number. If you're out driving around, I certainly don't want you to do anything illegal, but be creative. Hit the phones. We're back after this. Let's say hello to my buddy and former 1977 BGA classmate, James Warren. He's now the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill. James, let's talk a little mailing services.
We do mailing for all kinds of folks, George. And I will say, if a business needs to boost sales or drive customer loyalty, they can talk to us. We'll have it covered. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. Basically, all you have to do is share your goals with us, and we do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us,
at rates cheaper than you can mail things.
Give me the particulars.
Yeah, so our email address is print@sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can find us online at sirspeedymusiccity.com or give us a call at 615-832-9511. We've got you covered.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online. Lynch Tree Serve at AOL.com.
Dan Gare's Classic Southern Cooking in Nashville reminds us that early detection is the key to preventing breast cancer. Although the risk for breast cancer increases with age, all women are at risk. If you're over 40, have an annual mammogram. Under 40, have one every 3 years. This message courtesy of Dan Robinson of Dan Gare's Classic Southern Cooking in Nashville, where they invite you in for the finest Southern cooking. Stop by 538 Lafayette Street in Nashville for fast and friendly service and bring the whole family to Dan Gare's Classic Southern Cooking. Call 615-256-8501. You'll be glad you did.
George Plaster, WNSR.
.245. Enjoying a victory for the Titans. It was bizarre. Sitting up in section 333, row 7, it just was a roller coaster. You are sitting there going, they're not going to win. They don't know how to win late, blah, 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 blah. And then lo and behold, this fumble happens. And I've got to tell you, it's only been in the last 10 minutes. Jay brought me one tape. It's almost like you've got to know what you're looking for to see the fumble. But once he pointed something out to me, you do see the fumble, and it had to be a long, long plane ride home for the Chargers last night. That cannot be a lot of fun. Not that I really care, but to a point, your heart does go out to him a little bit. Apparently well, not. Apparently no one's heart went out to him.
It was a long plane ride home for my Yankees on Saturday night, so I feel more empathy for them than the Chargers.
Well, let me say that I feel more for the Chargers.
Yes, I know you do.
Yes. So,
Terry. By the way, I want to give you, I know we're talking football, I want to give you a quick note. This will put what happened Saturday night into historic perspective.
Okay.
The Yankees had won at least one pennant in every decade since the 20s up until this past decade, 2010 to 19. 100-year span, they had won at least one pennant in every decade. That's how, that's kind of being underplayed, but that's how historic the loss was.
When you say pennant, are you saying world title or American League title?
American League title. Now, had they won one World Series in the 80s, it would have been one world title. But the only pennant they won in the 80s was in 1981, and they lost the World Series to the Dodgers that year.
Interesting.
Okay. So in 2110,
we're going to say the Yankees are not winning a World Series or going to a World Series.
Maybe.
I have to tell my great-grandkids that.
Well, either way, Terry, I know that, gosh, my heart goes out to that organization.
Yes, I know. I know it does, George.
Basically, they'll get their checkbook out, shell out about $300 million for Gerrit Cole, and we'll move on.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I know you are. So you all give me some thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons, who made his debut yesterday. Can he be a dominant force in these final games of the season?
He's getting there. I don't know that he's a dominant force yet, but if yesterday's any indication, I think he has a chance to be a very, very special type of player. You know, sort of an Aaron Donald type. And what Jeffrey Simmons allowed them to do, you know, and Watson made a good point that Phillip Rivers is not going to take a lot of sacks. He's throwing the football out as soon as he sees pressure. But what Jeffrey Simmons should allow them to do is more of using four people to rush the passer and not having to come with so many safety blitzes or nickel blitzes or inside linebacker blitzes, whatever it may be. Dean Pease has had to draw up for this defense to manufacture a pass rush over the past couple of seasons. Simmons has that special ability, and especially when paired with Casey, to not only be a space eater, but to be a guy who can get pushed up the middle. And when you can rush the passer with just four guys and make the quarterback hurry the football out, even if you don't get a sack, it makes that defense that's pretty good, should make it a lot better.
Watson, what did you see out of him?
Well, coming into the draft, George, if you think back, he was one of the top talents in the draft and right at the top of the defensive line draft. And he got in a little trouble that I didn't think was deep trouble, but the Titans took a shot when a lot of other people let it go. And the Titans took that chance, and they tell me in Starkville that he is a great kid. And just everybody on the team loved him there. He was great in the locker room. I thought they got a steal. I thought that was the best pick by far they made in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing it already. I mean, here's a kid that is back within 8 months, and that's early for ACLs. Believe me, that's early. And he's back, and he didn't show rust. And if they'll take good care of him, not just kill him, and play him a little bit, let him get in better shape and everything as he goes. Guys, we got one there now. That's, in my opinion, an absolute steal in the draft.
I want to get both of you to, I guess for me, one of the real disappointments in yesterday that had me going, they don't know how to win, is they score to go up 23-13. And then the Chargers come down, and in four plays, march through that defense like Sherman marched through Atlanta. Now, only Watson was around when Sherman did that, but nonetheless.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Were they in a, quote, prevent?
No, they didn't rush three. But they were soft when they hadn't been all day long. They backed off the receivers a little bit. The drops were deeper, and four-man rush didn't get close. If you saw the whole second half up to that series, Phillip Rivers had no time to throw. He had people open behind linebackers and stuff to these tight ends, and he couldn't get on the ball because the pressure was just too much, whether it was four or five guys that they brought. I just thought they got a vanilla and backed up, but they weren't in prevent defense. No, they were not.
So, Terry, when it happened and San Diego scores and there's still 5 minutes left on the clock, it's now 23-20, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, here we go. Most of the stadium was saying, oh, Lord, here we go. And you know that there is a trickle-down effect to players of going, oh, Lord, what now? And I just thought that was a tactical error to allow San Diego to score that easily. San Diego, I'll say that forever. The L.A. Chargers.
Yes. I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, because when you're up by 10, when you're up 23-13 and there's 6 minutes to go, you know, yeah, maybe you don't want to be blitzing every down and, you know, leaving yourself vulnerable to a big play. But I did think they got too conservative and too cautious and backed off too much. And if you saw those spots in the zone open up with Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen, they just, you know, marched right down the field. And that's one of the things, too, that, you know, I saw a lot of people on Twitter and different things point out was the fact that they didn't have Jayon Brown yesterday. He's their guy who covers that tight end most of the time that's coming out, you know, out into the pass routes. And without him, that forced them to use either Evans or Woodyard or a safety or a nickel there on a tight end. And Hunter Henry was a clear mismatch. The Titans, with Brown out, had no one who could control Hunter Henry. It looked like the old days when tight ends used to run wild on him.
Brown likely back this week?
I think he's got a chance. We'll have to see a little later on in the week. He's got a groin injury, which he suffered out in Denver, and he didn't return for that game. And now he's had another week to heal. So I think you know, it'll be a little dicey for a couple of days, but we'll see how it goes later in the week.
We'll go to the break and wrap up hour number one. When we come back, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Denny Hamlin took home the checkered flag. Chase Elliott raced his way in. Brad Keselowski and others are out. Up next is Martinsville. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin. I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
I want to end the hour this way, 2:57 the time. The Titans got some yardage out of their running game, but Terry, it was like pulling teeth at times. Do you believe, and then I'll turn it to Watson with the same question, that with their offensive line issues, that they truly can run the ball much better than they are?
Probably not a whole lot better. I think Derrick Henry has been pretty effective given the circumstances. You know, I'm beginning to be part of the growing number of people that think that Deion Lewis may be done. He has not really been an effective part of that offense at all this year. You know, he's played lots of key snaps, especially on third down. But I think, to me, in the running game, that's one of the bigger issues that maybe is not being talked about enough.
I got to stop you all. I didn't realize we were this close to the top of the hour. We'll get into college football. Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Mason. Boy, both of them had interesting weekends, to say the least.